Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Sunday, a day to worship. Worship a small egg-shaped ball.
Oh no, he drops the ball.
You've got to respect the ball.
Long live the weekend. Long live rugby league.
Oh, you've got to love your rugby league.
Triple M, Sunday Sin Bin.
Of course, you can call us anytime, whatever you want to talk about pertinent to our great game. 133-53 is the number, 133-53, and we can take your number and call you back. 12 gone, Gold Coast 2, Dragons 0 up there on the beautiful Gold Coast. We'll talk more about that game shortly. Plenty coming up this hour, but before we go any further, I've been sent something that might have something to do with you here, Gordy. A fundraising long lunch. Fortitude Music Hall, Friday, August 27. Yes. What's this all about? We are Wests.
Little mighty West Panthers that play down there at Barden, just across the road from me. They're having a long lunch, a fundraiser for the club. It's a tiny little club. So if anybody is a rugby league fan, especially a little West old boy, wants to come along and have a great afternoon.
You going to be there, Gordon?
I'll have to buy a table, Paul. Do you want to come? Mate, if you're out of isolation, I will fly you up.
Thank you.
Oh, that's
you
a nice offer. Yeah. He'll fly you up.
That's yep. And I'll stay at
mate, you would love it.
Palais Talas.
Palais Talas and Lockie. So, look, it's a great little footy club. So, most of the Broncos boys' sons have played there. Lockie's boys are still there at the moment. So, I don't know who's guest speaker at the moment, but we'll have to pull some of the dads up there and hopefully raise some good money for this young rugby league club.
Yes, no worries at all. And, of course, if you need that MC. But isn't that great?
Mate, do you want, mate, actually, Maroon, we might have to talk off air about that.
Okay, no worries at all, mate. And he could just call his house the Palace. Take the T away and put the P, and it's the Palace.
The Talas Palace.
The Talas Palace, yeah. Boys, let's talk about this Rugby League World Cup. Of course, Australia and New Zealand have pulled out and urged organisers to postpone it until 2022. I thought that has come as no shock, really. I would have thought. Paul, before I go to you, James Graham was on the Saturday scrum yesterday, and the Rugby League legend had this to say.
You know, looking at some of the reasons that have been cited, I mentioned some of the other organisers, some of the other tournaments that are going ahead, is then by saying player safety, is that then saying that the governing bodies of the Wallabies and the All Blacks, they're not concerned about player safety? Because I'm speaking to people at the World Cup and they seem to have put all the correct biosecurity stipulations in place to help this World Cup go ahead, but it just seems to be ignored. And I think that's what's making people angry back in England. It's annoying me as well that they're hiding behind COVID when COVID's actually affected a lot of people around the world. And don't hide behind it and don't hide behind perceived player safety. Because like Gerd said, we found a way to get Origin on because there's a financial windfall. We found a way to get the competition on up in Queensland. We've moved everyone because we understand the financial implications of having it on versus not having it on. It's the same with the World Cup. The financial implications for not having this on could be catastrophic for the international game. Mm. Peter Verlandi spoke about when rugby league's in a time of crisis. Yeah, we have these round, you know, we have people who we hate or teams who we don't like, but in a time of crisis, we come together. Maybe you should live by that and help get this World Cup on instead of, you know, I'm not saying he's hiding behind COVID, but that's what he's being accused of back in England.
Okay, that was James Graham yesterday on the Saturday scrum. Paul, what did you think about what James said?
Oh, look, I admire his passion, but he's wrong. He's basically quoting what the complaints are from back in England. And I think the people in England don't really know what's going on. The NRL, to try and claim it's a financial reason the NRL didn't go is wrong, because the NRL put to the World Cup organisers various stipulations that would be required to send Australia, and the World Cup agreed to meet all those. So it was not going to cost the NRL, the Australian Rugby League and the New Zealand Rugby League actually any money, because the World Cup organisers agreed to come up with all that. Essentially, what the reason was for why they're not going there is last week, there's an app in England that people have, and if you come into close contact with somebody, your app pings off and you are then told you've got 14 days to isolate.
Oh.
Now, in the week from 8th to the 15th of July, which is only a little bit, this is the latest, there were 600,000 people in England told to isolate in that week. 600,000 people told to isolate. 40,000 a day are coming up positive to COVID. Now, we've shut down a whole state here because we've got 143, I think, positive cases. They're getting 40,000 a day. So the NRL's approach to this was that the players are in a COVID bubble right now. They were in a COVID bubble all last year. We saw last year during the origin period in a couple of cases that didn't get highly publicised of basically a lack of tolerance for some players at the end of the season to stay in the bubble. And if the players go to England for the World Cup, they will go there. They will have 14 days to isolate before they are allowed to then partake in where they're at. Every chance they will have to just stay in the hotel rooms while they're over there. And then they will have to, this is best case scenario, then they'll have to isolate for another 14 days when they come back to Australia. Of course, the risk in between is they come into one of those close contacts. They walk down to get a coffee. Their app pings and they've got to do 14 days isolation during their time after having already done 14 and knowing that they've got another 14 coming up. So they've got a guaranteed 28 days isolation between the end of this season and next season. That's if they get lucky and they actually their app doesn't go off at some point during the tournament. And the NRL just thought it was too much to impose on the players, having put them in a bubble in Queensland now, moved them away, phone the kids and the wives and all the rest up to Queensland to try and keep it going, get to the end of the season, get the best players from the NRL. So, right, you're on a plane now. You're going to do 14 days isolation now before you're allowed out in England, run the risk of getting pinged on your app and having to do that while you're in England, and then have to do another 14 when you get back just to get the competition running again. So they made a decision on behalf of everybody to say, you know what, let them finish this season. They go back. They have 8 weeks back in the community doing their own thing, and from the mental welfare side of things, they are just hopefully going to come back rejuvenated.
Both sides have some real valid points. You know, I thought what James Graham said, and for the English game, like, it was really strong, and I thought there's some strong points, and he's right on a lot of them, and you're right on yours. But what about the players? Okay, so I get that some players say, no, listen, it's been too much of a stretch. But we go to the top 50 guys and say, hey, who is prepared to do this, to go represent our country?
I think, Gordy, players were spoken to informally over it.
Yep.
And the NRL basically gauged a response from the players. And that dictated the way they had. And I think in some cases you might find the NRL are basically taking a bullet for some of the concerns of the players about going away. Because we're hearing right now how... We just saw Jai Arrow do 14 days and he started to go a bit loopy at the end.
Yeah.
You know, like he cutting his own hair, and like even some of the South teammates said, look, mate, he's getting out just in time.
Yeah.
It is a difficult time. And the NRL just was of the belief that given the players are currently in a bubble and that they have to do 14 days before they go, 14 days when they come back, which is essentially a month sitting in a room by themselves. And on... You know, everybody, many people who are listening right now are going through their own version of COVID isolation, quarantining, whatever. So this is by no means feel sorry for the players. This is just that the NRL didn't believe that they needed to endure this again and they didn't want to impose it on them. And so they made the decision on behalf of the players that they wouldn't be going.
And what about calls here to postpone it till 2022. That seems to make sense to me. I don't see where anyone could be surprised that Australia and New Zealand don't want to go. What do you think it calls to postpone it for a year?
I don't disagree with it. But there's obviously another representative program on next season anyway. This is the World Cup. I get that. And James Graham has pointed out that the Wallabies are flying over and that the All Blacks are flying over and that all the rest of it. But they haven't lived through this bubble that the NRL players are currently going through. They haven't been put into these level 4 protocols that the Project Apollo has come up with. So they've had more freedoms in their life. And the NRL has just made call they believe is for the good of the game. It's not going to suit everybody.
No.
And not everybody's going to agree with it.
Yeah.
And I can understand England being upset. Like, having a Rugby League World Cup without Australia is like a Rugby Union World Cup without the All Blacks. Mm. It just, it loses a lot of its tarnish. And I get the anger and upset that's happening in England about it, because the Australians are the big dogs in the tournament, and they're the ones that everyone will go and see, and they will have a great bearing on the success of the tournament. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen now. Calls by the likes of Gary Schofield coming out saying Australia should be banned from the next two World Cups is just hysterical.
Stupid.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's good passion, though.
Yeah, but it's a good way to also kill. You know, James Graham said if Australia don't play in this game, there's a chance that they will damage the game internationally. Can you imagine banning them from the next two? So they missed three in a row? It would nearly kill off England rugby league. So I don't know, but you might be careful what you wish for there.
Boys, just got to butt in here because believe it or not, and you will find this hard to believe, the Dragons have got through the Gold Coast online defence, and the Gold Coast lead the Dragons 8-6.
Geez, I hope I bump into Tom Tate here. I'm going to get him on air.
That's up there.
If I bump into Tommy Tate walking around this stadium, he's coming on, and you can't back down.
Oh, I'd love to speak to Tommy again. Gold Coast,
here we go.
8, Dragons 6. So just to close up on that Rugby League World Cup thing, Hoops, how could anyone be surprised that Australia and New Zealand don't want to go? How could anyone be surprised?
Yeah, the talk had been around for a number of months now that in all likelihood, given the COVID situation worldwide in Europe and then conversely back over here where really it's obviously the goalposts have moved enormously over the course of the last month, 6 weeks for people in New South Wales and specifically for people in Sydney. We've been living with coronavirus for 18 months, best part of 2 years now, but the restrictions that are currently imposed on us, well, this is the first time that we've all really had to bite down and do it a bit tough in terms of the isolation and whatnot. So I don't think it wasn't a surprise that was the decision that the power brokers ultimately landed on. It had been around for quite a while that considering the circumstances, the advice from the pandemic gurus, all that sort of thing, that they decided it was just a safer option given the state of world affairs at the moment to not go.
Hoops, Paul Kent, and of course, Gordy Tallis. Gold Coast leading the Dragons, 8-6 on the Tyre Power scoreboard. We might lighten things up shortly with I Call BS, or maybe we go even harder. Maybe we've got some serious topics, but we'll do that next. I Call BS as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
And Gold Coast leading St George Illawarra 8-6 on the Tyre Power scoreboard on the back of some interesting games yesterday. The Rabbitohs, of course, had a win yesterday. Manly over the West Tigers. And in the last game, Panthers beat the Broncos. Big game coming up next weekend. Panthers and Melbourne. Really looking forward to that one with Kenty Hoops, Gordy Tallis and Maroon. Time now for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer. Comes I Call BS.
All right, so you know how this works by now. We let the blokes off the chain and they can just call BS on whatever they want. Maybe it's something happening in footy, maybe it's not. Just something happening in their lives. For instance, boys, I've been spending a lot of time at home on the lounge with very little else to do. And I get all these, things on my email or in social media or on the telly about undies, you know, men's undies. And you got undies that stop chafing, and you got undies that are made of bamboo, and you've got undies that supposedly make you stay cooler. And I was saying to my wife, like, when did people, why are they having all these dramas with their undies? Like, just go to Best and Less at Randwick. You can get a six-pack of undies for $20. When did people start having all these dramas with their undies, the chafing and the cool and the undies made of bamboo? Just go to the shops and buy six pairs of undies. Nonsense.
Have you tried the bamboo?
No, I'm not interested, mate. I just go old school undies.
What, you like a Y front?
No, I just like the tradie, the ones that are called tradie. Just the old school jocks.
What about the Bonds boxers?
No, I don't like. They make me hot. My glutes hot.
See, there you go.
Yeah, that's why you need the bamboo, because it's cooling.
Yeah. I just go for the normal tradie undies.
You're defeating your own argument here.
Yeah, well, mate,
especially
I'm just
with
saying,
your jeggings that you wear. If
So I'm just saying, I mean, just go and get some undies, mate. You're not a male model. I'm not having that much drama with your undies. You need to spend $40 on one pair of undies. Mm. I mean, seriously, go to Best Unless. You can buy a dozen undies for $40. That's it. What about anyone else?
High polyester too, are they? Or what are they made of? Cotton?
I don't even know what they're made of, Paul.
There you go.
Are they really good, really comfortable?
How's the elastic in them?
The elastic's in them, well, you know, they start going after about a couple of years, but I just warehouse them.
Because they're so cheap, though, you can buy another pair.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you ever sew elastic into them?
Never.
Never.
No.
Never.
What are you wearing
in the
house?
They shrink when you wash them, Maroon?
No, they're perfect. They
so there's
perfectly.
No shrinkage in your huh? undies?
No, there's no shrinkage in there whatsoever. What I do is
shrinkage.
I always get the black undies. First, I got the gold band around the top. And then when I know it's time to upgrade, I'll go and get the ones with the blue band around the top so I know what batch they came from.
What do you like to wear in the house of almost pain?
I just wear those undies with an old Triple M T-shirt and some running shoes.
Okay.
Mm. So
didn't you get a special set of training?
I did bring back.
Things over in Hawaii one day.
Waikele Outlet in Honolulu, some specially manufactured training underwear. And by geez, they were handy, you know.
It kept the glutes cool.
Glutes were nice and cool. The buttock was firm. The elastic stayed put. And everything was in place as well it should be. Would anyone else like to call BS?
Yeah, on to matters more pertinent in terms of serious world affairs. Those palookas who protested in the city yesterday, get off the gummy bears, get off the Hong Kongs. What are you doing?
Idiots.
Imbeciles. So, yeah, I'll call BS on that. And I'll also... in the first hour of the program, I was going off like a second-hand lawnmower cheap alarm clock about the Tigers and how they'd thrown this four-year deal at Dale Finucane. And I'll call BS on myself because they've since been in touch and they're blowing up. They didn't offer a four-year deal. They offered a two-year deal. They're saying it was $650,000 each season. And then there was a club option for the final season. I said, okay, I'll clarify that, but you're still Pelicans for the way that you've gone about the business.
What's
of
a club option?
A club option, that means, Gordon, that the club in the final season of the deal is the one that has the option on whether the contract goes ahead or not. So, for example, with BJ Leilua at the moment, the Tigers have got a club option for next year, but clearly it doesn't look as though Joey will be there for next year. Whereas where the Broncos got themselves in all sorts of bother was player options. They were giving everybody player options, and it essentially just gave the players too much control.
So you got the Tigers thing just a little bit wrong.
Yeah, skew if.
But as I taught you when I was mentoring you, and when we were wrong, we promptly admitted it. And you did that, and I'm damn proud.
Thanks, Anthony. Appreciate your support.
No dramas at all. Would anyone else like to call BS?
All is good in my world, Anthony.
Oh, good. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, no BS in my world.
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, no, I'm the last to complain, as you know.
Yes, quality problems today, Paul Kent. Gordy, what about you?
Well, Maroon, I've only got one, so I might save it for my Apricity Finance.
Oh, good on you, mate. And
look after yourself. I'll call BS on that. Jeez.
we'll have a crack.
Hey, looking after the little financial interests there, are we, Gordon?
No, we're looking after sponsors that sponsor our show, Paul.
Right, okay.
Sydney, you're free to bring any on board if you want.
Hey, Gordon, you didn't think to extend yourself and come up with two ideas? Well,
Maroon, don't laugh at him.
Sydney,
no, I can't come up with two, Paul, because I'm not angry like you. I'm a loving peace type of guy.
Well, that's what they say about me, Gordon.
Yeah. I have had Sydney...
What do you think of the Olympics, Paul?
Yes.
You into it, Paul?
I'll be honest. I didn't know what a nollie 180 was until I watched the skateboarding this morning.
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, well.
I don't even know if I need to know what a nollie 180 is or a nollie toe touch, whatever it's called. Honestly.
What is it?
Mates, when they
some
get up the front
whatever.
Of the board or some buddy thing.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Honestly. I will say... the allure of the Olympics is losing its shine with me, with all these sports that are being introduced in an attempt to make the Olympics more
palatable, inclusive,
more current.
Make it more current with the sport, with the surfing's there now. And then, you know, look, Ash Barty, I don't want to, if you're holding out for the replay, Ash Barty got knocked out, so don't stick around for that. But she, you know, we've got these high paid athletes now in sports such as the basketball and the golf and the tennis that are all trying to make the current. The Olympics up with the current trends and the current popular sports. But to me, it was a big athletics carnival, swimming and athletics. And essentially, that was their moment. And I think by bringing all this in, we're here today that I saw the silly Liz Ellis come out saying that she now thinks netball could be part of the Olympic movement because they can use Brisbane as an opportunity to get netball in the games. Please, there's about four countries that play it. That's not quite right. Okay, that's an exaggeration, Liz, when you have your whinge back. But there's about four countries that play it. Australia, New Zealand, South Africa all dominate. And the fact is, it's just going to be put on for an Australian medal. And even rugby league. I don't think rugby league should be at the Olympics. It would be great for the sport. It would help grow. But it shouldn't be at the Olympics. The Olympics should be sticking to what the Olympics is great at. 100-meter races,
discus,
swimming,
shot put,
all that sort of stuff. And even the old-fashioned sports like pentathlon and sports like that and sports that are in danger of being kicked out because they're no longer seen as cool. Honestly, I watched the skateboarding this morning. It was appalling. It was appalling to watch. They kept falling off the skateboards, going back, starting again. Basically, it looked like different people doing the same routines on it. There was nothing new. They kept coming, oh, nice nolly there. And they kept saying, honestly, and they're stoked. Like you're hearing the commentators now saying they're stoked. Like, please.
Yeah, it's not 1985. But you so, like...
For a bloke that didn't have a BS, I'm going all right.
You like the Greco-Roman wrestling, don't you, Hoops?
No, that's your favourite. You love
seeing blokes grabbing each other.
I think it's been punted, though.
I
think it's one of the sports that got wrestled because they wanted to bring in the skateboarding and sort of business.
This can't happen.
So you got to look. That's exactly it, though. The wrestling was just it was one of the original Olympic sports. And I'm talking ancient Olympic sports. It was one of the original sports.
Have you still got the mats?
And now it's gone. Like, it's just ridiculous.
Have you still got the mats in the House of Almost Pain?
Oh, the wrestling mats.
The Johnson & Johnson's baby oil on the shelf there.
We normally get the wrestling mats out, and sometimes we put the twister board on top of it and get the neighbours over. Social distancing, not. But anyway...
Mate, you're not allowed to have the neighbours over at the moment.
No, I know. Well, that's why we don't. But when... You know, it'll all be back. It'll all be back to normal.
Bruno still pops over occasionally, doesn't he?
When
the restrictions aren't underway and he's over there now.
He's there now. I'm not there, but he's there. Gold Coast 12, Dragons 6, 5 minutes and 40 seconds left in the first half. That all thanks to Tyre Power. I call BS done for another week. We'll return to some serious rugby league.
Breakdancing at the Olympics.
Is that one?
It's coming. Honestly, give me a break.
And you know what it'll be like when our grandkids are grown up? They'll probably be playing Xbox and...
For all the whinge, though, there is still... I'll give the Olympics this, right? When the swimming's on and when the athletics is on, especially the sprint races and whatnot, there is... It has got an appeal to
100%. Yeah. I love it. I'm old enough to remember just waiting all week to watch Ben Johnson and Carl Lewis race in Seoul.
Yeah, 88.
Yeah.
Then we later found out the whole race didn't take long.
Everybody in the race except for one was
on the gear. All of them was. Didn't it end up in the lot?
I thought there was one that
I think in the fullness of time, we got the superfecta.
But the fact is, it's just, honestly, like breakdancing at the Olympics. Come on. Like, what's next?
No, it's ridiculous, mate. Absolutely ridiculous. But look, we'll leave it there. Toby Sexton's having a good game for the Gold Coast Titans. He's the kid they've got.
He's a young gun halfback.
Yeah. So he's going all right there. Gold Coast 14, Dragon 6. Let's take a break as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, everybody. We've got Paul Kent. We've got James Triceps, Hooper Gordon, Tallis and Maroon here. We do it thanks to our mates at Sea-Doo. And, of course, get on board of Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. No passport, no worries. Get on board the Sea-Doo. Lots of our mates love the Sea-Doo. Spud Carroll loves his Sea-Doo. Canberra 12, Eels 10. Good win for the Raiders back there on Thursday night. Roosters 28, Knights 8. Disappointing year for the Knights. Storm 20, Cowboys 16, 15 in a row wins for the Storm. Manly 44, Wests 24, Panthers 18, Broncos 12. Souths make it 7 in a row with a 60 points to 22 win over the Warriors. Right now, we have the Dragons playing the Gold Coast Titans. The Titans lead 14-6 unless Corey Thompson's just scored, has he? No.
He got tackled, actually.
So it's still 14-6, Gordy?
Yeah, 14-6. Beautiful day up here, actually, Anthony. It's 20 degrees, so yep. And there's not a cloud in the sky. It's a beautiful winter's day, so a great day for rugby league. And Corey Thompson, by far the most underrated player in the competition.
Yeah, he is great.
Wholehearted, isn't he, Gordy?
We just love him.
Gives everything.
Every week, he just plays so good.
20 seconds left in the first half. Gold Coast 14, St George Illawarra 6. Let's talk about that Rabbitohs game. That's 7 wins in a row for the Rabbitohs. I feel like they've flown a little bit under the radar. And the argument is today, are they A, the genuine contenders, Hoops, or B, do they need to come up against a genuine contender?
Oh, Kenny pointed out during the week, the issue for the Bunnies is Melbourne's their kryptonite, the Storm. They haven't been able to beat them for however many years it is. They've jagged the occasional victory here and there, but if you look at on paper the raw numbers, they don't stack up at all, and especially the way you look at the recent meetings against the Storm. So for South to be considered serious contenders, they've got to figure out a way that they're going to unseat the premiers.
Yeah, South Sydney are so dangerous down that left edge with Walker and Latrell and all the rest of it, but Melbourne defend that very well. And once Melbourne defend that so well, South then struggle to find other ways to come up with points. Like I thought yesterday was one of the most appalling games I've ever seen, to be honest. The Warriors, look, there was over a point scored a minute, every minute of the game. It's just embarrassing. The football's become this way. And I know everybody's blaming the rules. I don't blame the rules. We saw a good game Thursday night, another good tight game. Penrith and the Broncos, even though they got away a little bit at the end. But the Warriors just weren't there at the beginning of the game mentally. Their attitude in defence was awful. And they allowed South to skip away. It was 30-odd points, 32 points, I think, at halftime they'd scored.
Yeah.
It was just an embarrassing performance. And it goes back to our little conversation earlier in the show about mental toughness and this ability. We're losing the ability in the game of being able to defend and being able to defend repeat sets and to be able to use your defense as a weapon. The other day I was in a Fox and Matty Johns was in there and we were just talking footy, and he was telling me how he went back and watched old vision of the Canberra Raiders in the 90s. And that Canberra side were as expansive as any football team that's ever played and as potent with the ball as any team that's ever played. He said, but when they didn't have the ball and it was their turn to defend, he said they'd hurt you. The Quentin Ponga and John Lomax and David Ferner and Brett Hetherington and Brad Clyde, like, they came at you and they inflicted pain with their defence, and they brought an attitude towards it.
Ruben Wiki and Mel Meninga in the centres. Mm.
And they did, but Gordy, they wanted to hurt you defensively, yeah. and they took delight in doing that. And we've got this mentality, and we all spoke about it 7, 8, 10 years ago, and it's now come to fruition. Where 7, 8, 10 years ago, the under-20s was known as a competition where basically teams defended like they were just waiting for to be their turn to get the ball back.
Yeah,
there was no attitude or no application to the defence, and that's now infecting too much of the NRL. The good teams like Melbourne, the Roosters, when they're at full strength, Penrith now, they have an attitude to their defence that they're going to defend the entire time they don't have the ball. Some teams now, like some of those misses last night from West Tigers, was embarrassing.
Mm.
And yeah, Luke Brooks, I know he wears a lot, but he missed a tackle last night where his body was in completely wrong position. The effort was made. Well, it wasn't really an effort made to put his head in the right position. Therefore, there was no shoulder in the tackle. Therefore, an arm went out. And the Manly player just ran straight through it. And I just think in the old days, you would have been dropped for such a tackle.
Mm.
Paul, but the game's gone this way. And then my article today in the Sunday Mail was, and I congratulated the Raiders in a way where the players have had too much say. And I'm a player, so don't forget, mate, I'm an ex-player. And, you know, when I was playing, the game pretty much was the game and we didn't have a say. And then I think now it's probably swayed a little bit too much towards the players, to a point where Ricky, you know, cut out the player managers, then players started to revolt, and they've drawn a line in the sand, the Raiders, and the club's backing the club. And what I mean by the club is they're backing the coach and they're backing the culture of where it is. And if you don't want to be part of it, well, don't. And I think there wasn't, and there's not enough of it in the game. And if you did drop Luke Brooks, well, then all the other players and all of other, you know, his softer teammates would jump on his side. And then you got a mutiny, and then the coach is no good for the joint. And that's what's wrong with our game at the moment.
Yeah, and that's where Ricky's been very... So Don Ferner grabbed Ricky at one point during all that drama earlier in the year with the likes of Hodgson and Tarpanay and all the rest of it, and said, listen, mate, I just so you know, you're not going anywhere. We're right behind you. And whatever happens here, we're backing you. And Ricky was able to make decisions that were right for the club based on the fact that he didn't have to try and protect his job, or he didn't have to try and then win sway with the players in order to protect his job. So he was able to make a decision. He was able to put a standard and a line in the sand according to what was best for the club. And the one thing, the Raiders are very lucky here, Ricky Stewart, given he's a club legend, he played most of his career there until they sacked him. But he loves the club. It's a genuine love for the club. He wants the club to succeed. Even if he was no longer coaching, he would want the Raiders to succeed. But then on top of that, Don Ferner is one of his closest friends. They went to school together and they've known each other, so that they know they can trust each other. So when Don Ferner says to him, listen, mate, we've got your back here and you just do what's right for this joint and we'll support you, he knows it's genuine. He's not sitting there thinking, well, hang on, is this bloke also now canvassing other coaches on the quiet, or you know the old full support of the board, which we used to hear? He knows it's genuine, and because of that, you're able to then, if the coach knows what he's doing, you're able to get the club back running again and back operating as it should. And when you don't have that trust there, and there's that 1% of dishonesty in the conversation, and you don't, that's when you start to have problems.
Well, and like even players talking about the rule changes. Last week I was calling a game. Aiden Tomlin went up to the referee and said, this game is too slow. In the history of rugby league, when has a front rower gone up to a referee and said, this game is too slow?
Yeah.
And they're talking about, it's too fast, we can't keep up. This is a guy that works in the engine room, that does a lot of work, he looks like he doesn't whinge with anything. He just wanted the game to go faster. So when they say the game's too fast, you got a guy in the engine room saying that it's too slow. And it was evident because I watched it.
And Gordy, we're seeing instances now where they're going to the video referee. It's taken 2.5 minutes to come up with a decision. Like, that's just embarrassing. The game should never be stopped for that long.
Last night, Dylan Edwards, right? And it was a ploy. So when Ivan Cleary whinges about the knockout and all that kind of stuff, Broncos could have scored. He lays at the play of the ball and gets up, and they do the HIA and stop the game. Surprise, surprise, he stays on and comes up with a big play and stops the try.
I'll go the other way, though. Tommy Talau last night got knocked out. Okay. They missed it. They kept him on the field. He went down hurt. He should have been replaced. He showed clear signs he was concussed. Then next time the Tigers got the ball, he ran the ball, lost it. Manly went straight up, and on that set of six, Daly Cherry Evans scores at the other end of the field. And you put it all down to a concussed player who is carrying the ball and loses it. Now, you could argue whether it would or wouldn't have happened if he wasn't concussed. But the fact was he was concussed because he played right centre. Because he's right centre, he wasn't replaced. If he was a middle forward, he probably would have definitely been replaced. But because he plays right centre, he's therefore not in the rotation of resting players. He was kept on the field, and the Tigers paid the price for it, because out of him being on the field, he made a mistake. Manly scored off it, and from that point on, Manly kicked. And that was the end of the game. And this is where the whole thing becomes a joke at times.
We haven't really discussed that game too much. Manly have had another win, 44-24 over the West Tigers. Let's start with Manly. Now, they are going to finish in the top six, probably sixth or fifth. They're in a little bit of a battle there with the Roosters at the moment. How far can Manly go, Hoops, in the finals?
I think they can go all the way. Obviously, whoever, if anyone's going to upset Melbourne, then they're going to need to be at their absolute best on grand final day, because the Storm at the moment, in horse racing terms, we're probably about at the clock tower in the Melbourne Cup, and the Storm are half a dozen lengths clear of the rest of the
field.
Just
to be clear, you're saying the Storm are a half a dozen lengths clear of Penrith?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and we'll get a better insight into that.
Yep.
Next weekend, because coming up, we've got the grand final rematch again. The Panthers, look, there's still question marks about whether Nathan Cleary will be okay or not. That's a massive in for them when Nathan does get back. I think they might err on the side of caution and rest him for the grand final rematch, thinking that they've got bigger fish to fry at the end of the year. But in terms of the Seagulls, Murrin, you look at that side that they picked last night with Josh Schuster, with Hamolo, Olakawade, Kieran Foran's back in form. Daly Cherry-Evans is a seasoned campaigner who's been there in plenty of big games and won grand finals. Tommy Turbo's just in a vein of form that we haven't seen from him previously. His brother is back to his best. Jakey off the back of an injury layup. They're in it up to their eyeballs to see.
Yep. And their roster's really healthy. I think even, you know, young Ciro's son, who, you know, I think towards the end of last year was one of the better back rowers. So like, they've got a fair bit of talent and depth on the bench. I can see, you know, I watched that game live. I caught it for Fox. When Tommy and Tommy was in second gear last night, when he injects himself, they go the length of the field. And at the moment, in this, like this year, he's hard to stop. He's the hardest player I've seen to stop. He is unbelievable both sides of the field. And they got genuine attack on both sides of the field. I think their centres are real defensive, Harper and Parker. I think they're underrated. I think they do a great job defensively every week. So I think if push comes to shove, at the end of the year, they need a bit of luck. But I think they're a dark horse, Manly. Like, I really do.
Boys, what about Parramatta? On the way up or on the way down? I thought they would have beaten Canberra. Idle.
Well, they should have. But the fact is, they had no halfback. And I think that really told. His kicking game was missing. And so I would, if I'm a Parramatta fan, I'm not going to get discouraged, but I'm not going out and buying the grand final. Well, the grand final party pies just yet.
Yeah. Where is Moses? Do you have an update, Hoops? What's the latest on Moses?
Yeah, so he obviously picked up a back injury in state of origin, small fracture. There's a chance he'll be available for this week, but if not, then he should be back for round 21, definitely.
Okay.
So the Eels aren't overly concerned about it. The issue from here is going to be all the opposition sides will now. I mean, he's got a target on him anyway. He's got a bullseye every game he plays. But there's no doubt, especially the good teams, they know when blokes have got a bit of a busted rib or a bit of a crook back or whatever, and they make sure that they hurt him.
He'll have to adapt his game around that, and how he does that's going to be telling. What impact, see, because halfbacks these days just have to dig into the line.
Do you reckon that's why he didn't run the ball in Origin 3?
Oh, I'm sure he was busted. Yeah, like it's a tough one to carry. Yeah,
he played 70 minutes.
There's no doubt he's a pretty tough kid. But what's going to happen in the future is to be fully effective, halfbacks have to take the ball to the line, commit the defender, which means the defender generally hits him. So he's going to have to do that. He's going to have someone, I'd say, who's going to have to be his watchdog and look after him and make sure that he doesn't start getting hit with cheap shots in the back. The game's obviously got to get serious about how it protects him in that respect. But it's going to be tough for him. It's going to be tough, and it's going to, you know, he's going to have to try and nurse his way through at the same time, still be effective.
All right, boys, halftime. Of course, Gold Coast lead the Dragons 14-6 on the Tyre Power scoreboard. Earlier news, of course, Dale Finucane has signed a 4-year deal with Cronulla. Go Hoops.
And coming up next, Maroon Confidential.
Right.
Some big breaking news.
Uh-huh.
Couple of big spotteds from up in the bubbles up there in Queensland.
Wow. All
there sorts would have been of stuff. Plenty of airport activity this week, Anthony.
Really? Oh, well, I would know. I don't do it anymore.
You don't do it's it. Maroon. You've just thrown the toys out of the court, haven't you?
Well, you did, I was copying nothing but a bagging for doing it.
Oh, gee, you're and thin skin.
Getting minced
mate,
every week.
You've got the height of tissue paper,
mate,
really, haven't
you? Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm not the smartest, sharpest tool in the shed.
No.
But you're not going to offer yourself up to get bashed every week, are you?
Well, look, you've got to be effective, mate. Like, some blokes, like, we need the front rower.
Well,
you're a play one carry. That's you. Yeah, no.
And then the other thing you blokes
were doing.
That's
what you do. You're the play one guy.
You were giving me stories for Maroon Confidential, and then when I brought them up, you'd be bagging me.
No, because you loose carried one, okay? Right. We gave you the details.
You couldn't get it right. We told you the story. You spelled it out for you. And you still couldn't get it right.
You dropped the ball, bungled it, and then threw the toys out of the car because you're upset because, we turned on you and we weren't supporting you.
Which you did. But being a professional broadcaster, I'm not going to have this chat on air. If you're comfortable to do Maroon Confidential, you knock yourself out, buddy. But I've got better things to do with my life.
More than comfortable. It's a very popular segment of the show.
While it's on, I might go outside and make a coffee.
The fans demanded that it remain Maroon Confidential.
Gold Coast 14, Dragon 6, Maroon Confidential next. It's Triple M Rocks the Footy.
The Triple M Sunday Sin Bin. Triple M Rocks Footy.
Welcome back. It's 14-6. Gold Coast lead the St. George Illawarra Dragons at 4 o'clock this afternoon. The Sharkies, who've just secured the services of Dale Finucane, take on the Bulldogs, and it's time for this.
Psst. This is Maroon Confidential.
And I don't know how much longer my name will be associated with Maroon Confidential with Hoops, but Hoops, what have you been spotting around the place?
You're driving it, Anthony. This is all your work.
Well, just to be clear, I wanted to mince this
segment. You stood yourself down. Yeah. You blew up, you stood yourself down. We won't bore the listeners. We've been over all that. Right. Okay, we'll just get straight into it. So spotted.
Right.
At the Qantas Club at Sydney Airport.
At the airport? Oh, no.
This week, 16 NRL sides.
Right.
Yeah, and there's not really anybody else allowed in there at the moment, given the undercover COVID protocols. So they were spotted at the airport.
Right.
Also spotted.
They would have gone through the free food there.
At the airport on a different day.
Right.
The NRL wags.
Okay, yes.
All boarding planes.
There some was of a them drama were there.
At Bankstown. Some of them had to go to Bankstown and I think fly out of the Bankstown airport.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Also spotted.
Are you serious? Like, is this you're spotting players getting on planes?
Well, no, this is what, remember how I used to do
it? Now, hang on, don't bring me into it. This is nothing to do with me.
It is everything to do
with you. We might as well get Anthony back if this is the quality we've been dished up with.
It is everything to do with you.
Wags, wasn't one of the wags late to the plane and then there was a bit of a blow up? Who do you think you are? You're better than all of us. You can turn up whenever you want. Was there any of that gear?
I think there's been a few blow ups by the sounds of it. Mm. Yeah. Right. Next up, we've got a serious one.
Right.
There's quiet talk around town about the Cronulla Sharks. We've heard today, Dale Finucane, great signing. Nico Hines. We know Cameron McInnes is going there. Apparently, they're also having a look at the West Tigers halfback, Luke Brooks.
Really?
Yeah, Victor the Vessel, Vasilis.
Yep.
Even though you're not allowed out and about into Redfern at the moment because it's not in your 10-kilometre radius of Little Bay.
Yep.
You have still been FaceTiming with Victor the Vessel.
Yep, Yasu. Victor.
And Victor has given you the mail that, Cronulla have been having a chat about maybe bumping the West Tigers. And Brooks, he's still got a year to go next year and he's on big, big coin there, but maybe they might be able to broker.
Can I just say?
Some sort of deal.
Victor's mother, Theoni, and his grandmother, Yaya. He's Yaya. They've both been sick. And I know you're listening. I love you both. Hoops, what were you saying? Sorry.
Hey, guys, the Titans have just scored over in the far corner too. David Fifita has come off the bench. A great offload.
Yeah, he's been going good, Fifita too. He's just been hard to stop. 100% improvement.
18.6 with a kick to come.
Thank you, Gordon. But you've interrupted Maroon Confidential with Hoops.
That's a good live update.
Well, we are around a football show. We are a football show, Anthony.
Yeah, right.
Around the grounds with Gordy. How good.
Mm.
Okay, so Luke Brooks ticked. Let's do now. This one's a little bit hot. This one's a little bit close to the bone, Anthony.
Yeah.
Which NRL identity has been climbing the walls, fizzing on edge, a little bit agitated because of the COVID shutdown around New South Wales and Sydney at the moment? He hasn't been able to get out and about and go to his usual bathhouse.
Okay, who is it?
Well,
and what's a bathhouse?
I was about to say that sounds like Moses, but then you get a little stick in the tail, knocked a few out.
Yeah, what's a bathhouse?
Well, I think it's one of those joints. I'm not familiar with them, but I think it's one of those joints where you can just go in and it's like a steam room or one of those sorts of setups. You can go in and
like a day spa. They go and have a sweat.
Yeah, like a sauna.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Move along.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Now, last week, Paul revealed how you had spent some time as a hand model.
Yes, I had.
In Wollongong. Which hand was it again?
The left hand. The right hand's got a scar on it. The left hand is a perfect for what... and this is a true story, everyone. Ask Miss Portugal. I modelled watches. I modelled rings. I modelled bangles. I did once like this thing for the government where show you how to check your prostate and your business on a model. And so, yeah, I did a bit of work as a hair model.
You're starting to explain a few things now.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think I only got about 50 bucks a pop.
For a long, long time, we said, where did it all go wrong? Yeah. And I think we've just got our first little clue.
Mm. Wollongong hand model.
So Maroon Confidential.
Wollongong's most famous hand model, yeah. Too.
Soon as if I go and buy something, people will go, I know that hand from anywhere. Yeah, sorry, Hoops.
Maroon Confidential's been inundated this week. Emails, phone calls, messages. On the back of the hand model story, that about some of your other previous gigs.
Yeah.
Now, one of them tried to tell me that at some point...
Not the stilts, when I was up on the stilts.
No.
Right.
Did you do an advertisement for Dapto Florist and Nursery?
Oh, and that was the cockatoo.
Yeah.
The galah.
Yeah.
Who told you that?
What?
Who told you that?
Mate, I can't reveal.
How were you a galah?
Well, I tell you what, I don't want you to drag one of these up every week, but just for the sake of saving this segment, yeah, I was a pink galah.
Thank you.
And they'd go to this shot of a pink galah, and I'd be doing the galah voice like, rah! 80% off all indoor plants. Rah! Like that. And even my wife didn't know it was me. Nobody knew it was me.
And she still hasn't owned up to it either.
I told her years
later. She
won't
admit to it though.
Yeah. She just said, I'm just so embarrassed. You do anything for money. But you know what? That was 50 bucks a pop every time I did the galah in 1994.
Mm. That was a week's wages for you back then.
It pretty much was.
You got to put food on the table.
You do. You do.
What else is the left hand... opened modeled. A door for you.
Oh, mate, you know what?
Because we know you did the Seiko 100.
Yeah.
Well, and the best thing about the hand model story last week was then he spilled a boiling hot cup of Nescafe Blend 43 on it straight away.
Yeah. No.
While he was telling the story.
I'll get a shot of the hand for socials. Probably the biggest one I did. There's a menswear joint down there called Tramps. Ryan Girdler will know it. They were doing a thing, if you buy a dinner suit, you get free cufflinks. And they had a shot of me with the cufflinks in the... you know, sleeve.
You know, so good. Your face was never in any of these
never,
shots?
No. Just my hand. Just my left hand.
And how much was it for a hand shot?
A hand shot, you say?
Yeah,
$50. $50.
Oh, wow.
$50.
Oh, yeah, that's cheap.
Anyway, that's probably been the best episode of Maroon Confidential ever.
That's Maroon Confidential for this week.
How does it recover from that?
That can't get any better. Paul, we'll see you on NRL 360.
Yes, you will. Thank God I'm out of here.
Yep, and we'll come back next hour with Ryan Girdler. Gold Coast 20, St George Illawarra 6, as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the footy. The Sunday sin bin for Sea-Doo. Susie sells seashells by the seashore. Get on board a Sea-Doo and discover why it's Australia's number one choice in personal watercraft. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.